And joining us now from the Black Hills Surgical Hospital studio in Rapid City is Dr. Rob Winter. He's the department head and professor of chemical and biological engineering at South Dakota School of Mines and Technology. Dr. Winter, thanks so much for being with us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
I really appreciate you being here and talking a little bit about this. And I would like to start with this collaboration that the National Science Foundation is really helping to fund. It's not just School of Mines. It's how many institutions?
Yes, there's 11 institutions involved in the NSF Track 1 proposal.
Okay, and so to Track 1, let's just kind of start and just kind of lay it all out for me, please.
Okay, so NSF has a competition where they wish to develop infrastructure in states, and Track 1 is their largest competition, and this particular one's $20 million. And what they hope to do with that is build the research infrastructure, as well as education and workforce development, and help the universities across the state to build collaborations. And in our case, it's around this idea of 2D materials and biofilms.
And so this is hiring additional scientists. This is a physical building.
Yeah, not a building, but it is infrastructure in the sense of both human infrastructure. That would be hiring faculty, both research faculty and education faculty, as well as research instrumentation.
Buying the equipment that you need to do the experiments.
Exactly.
Okay. And so let's talk a little bit. This kind of came from EBSCOR as a way to build this and to make it known that in South Dakota this is a big deal.
Absolutely. As it was stated earlier, there's now three grants totaling $32 million that are around a very similar area in terms of microbes. Two of them would be called Track 2s. One is looking at the methane generation by microbes, and the other one is looking at big data. We might call it big data analytics with regard to all the data that's generated when one does these experiments. And then this Track 1 is utilizing resources from both of those. So all three of those kind of feed into that overarching concept of developing the infrastructure in the state.
Let's just take a minute and talk about the big data part, and that's like three institutions kind of working together. And I'm just wondering if all of that data is available, shareable, anybody can access it, or is it just still amongst the collaboration?
It is definitely shareable. That particular project, we just got that one funded in August, so we're just starting that one. And it is a collaboration between three jurisdictions, University of Nebraska, Omaha, Montana State University, and then University of South Dakota and South Dakota School of Mines and Technology.
Okay. So still building that and getting that up and running, yes?
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like I said, we just got it funded in August, so now the work over the next 4 years will be developing resources, infrastructure, models to extract data worldwide, not just the data that we generate here in the state, but be able to harvest useful information from research data that's generated anywhere in the world. And that's what makes it so powerful.
Now let's just kind of take me give me a primer of 2D technology and biofilms, and what is it?
Yeah.
Help me understand.
And I think what we heard a little earlier, the idea of a two-dimensional material, sometimes often we just refer to as 2D material, is that it has a thickness of an atom, as was mentioned before, and then many, many millions of atoms in the other two directions. So very thin, and like the example that was given, seeming like a piece of paper would be a good way to visualize it. So that's 2D materials. They're very unique in that they have very unique properties, everything from mechanical properties, the high strength, to electronic properties that you can utilize and actually leverage to make things happen. And they're very controllable in terms of being able to create them. So you can reproduce the structure over and over again. So I'll come back to that. But on the other side is the biofilms. Basically, we can think of those, if you think of microbes that are floating in the air or in the water, they're by themselves. It's harder for them to survive. But if they get to a surface, they will develop a community, a way to think of it, and that community is a biofilm. And by living in a community, they're much more capable of surviving. And where these two concepts come together, the 2D material and the biofilms, is that because we can control the surfaces of the materials, the 2D materials, we're going to look at communication between the microbes and the surfaces to see if we can understand the genes that they express and the development of the biofilm. And then there are times when we want biofilms to occur, mm-hmm. and then there are times that we don't want them to occur. And so we're looking in the future to be able to actually control whether or not we have a biofilm on a surface.
And so you can control one with the other, if it's, or you can create one with the other?
Right. The idea would be once we understand how they communicate with a surface, then we can develop two-dimensional surfaces that would either promote biofilm formation or inhibit biofilm formation.
And this has application across many different things, correct?
Yeah, it's quite amazing. We don't actually think much about, I think, biofilms in general, but they happen everywhere in nature, and they actually happen on humans. So we grow our own biofilms. So in the case of one that's related to us is that the biofilm that grows on one's teeth results in decay. And so that would be one that one wouldn't want to have. In the case of metal structures, say bridges, where again, biofilms are growing and causing corrosion, there we don't want that either. So we'd want to try to inhibit that. But on the case of an example of one where we really want biofilms is the other part of the Track 1 research, or one another focus of the Track 1 research is nitrogen fixing microbes on soybean roots. And in that case, we really do want the biofilm there because they actually provide natural nitrogen to the soybean as opposed to adding fertilizer. So that would be a cost reduction for farmers.
So are you imagining that this research and what we learn is going to turn then into actual products?
Yeah, that's actually, we imagined that from day one when we were developing the proposal itself. So that's an intricate part of the extension of the research. So we're working with South Dakota Biotech Association is part of a way to extending that to South Dakota businesses.
So a new toothpaste, perhaps?
Or, well,
I mean, I'm just trying to get my hands around something concrete here.
Yeah. So maybe the soybean one's maybe the easier one. trying to improve the community of microbes that do the nitrogen fixation, thus reducing the amount of nitrogen that farmers need to apply.
So is this a coating on the seed? Is it a spray after it's planted? How would that work?
Right. Well, it to be determined. Okay. Like all research, we're finding out the fundamentals of what makes these, what drives the communities, the microbial communities. But eventually, one thought, at least currently, it's one hypothesis, is that maybe you can coat the seeds as a starting point. To get the right community of microbes to form on the roots.
And so something for a bridge, maybe a pre-coated metal?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a great example. The same with any, if we have municipal water piping, metal piping, we might want to coat those, pre-coat them. So those are kind of examples that we've thought of. It's to be determined as we get really into the research and understand what really is feasible mm-hmm. and what really drives the microbes to do what they do.
So I have taken you about 10 steps ahead of really where we are right now.
Absolutely.
Does your brain go there sometimes?
Well, in fact, we always have to go there because we're thinking about how to really sustain these efforts. And to do that, you really have to be thinking 5 years ahead of, where are you going to? You can't predict where the research is going. You have hypotheses and you test them and you find out if you're right or wrong and change directions. But eventually, you really are looking for what's a practical solution that we can have for our society.
So as you're looking for more people to come and join staff, some more researchers, are these positions that are going to be at School of Mines? Are they going to be at some of the other institutions? Or how does this collaboration and hiring process actually work?
Yeah, and so that's all worked out when you develop the grant. For the research positions, they will be at South Dakota School of Mines and Technology, South Dakota State University, and University of South Dakota. The education positions will be at the universities that have education components within them. And we know exactly the type of skill set that we're looking for. So we knew the holes that we had in our current skill set of faculty. And so we're looking to add very specific expertise.
Are there other places, other states who are really focusing on this type of research and really trying to be the place for microfilm and 2D technology?
Yeah, indeed there is. Montana State University mm-hmm. has the Center for Biofilm Engineering, and we partnered with them because, one, they have deep knowledge in biofilms, and we're bringing to that the 2D materials and the interaction, understanding the interaction between biofilms and 2D materials to control biofilm growth.
Hmm. What kind of things are you imagining with medical devices to kind of prevent your body from rejecting things during surgery and that kind of stuff? Or devices that are implanted?
Either devices or just treatment of wounds. Mm-hmm. All of those have biofilms that over time develop on them. And again, sometimes those biofilms are helpful and other times those are harmful. So that's one of the medical areas, one of these emerging areas that we're looking at for this research.
It seems to me that there is just so much that you can look at. How are you going to kind of keep this in an organized pace.
Right. And so we are starting in these two areas. One is the microbial induced corrosion, and that's more of an industrial application. And then the soybean root, the nitrogen-fixing bacteria on them, that's the agricultural. And so we're focusing on those two research areas. And then as we understand the genetic routes of those two systems, we think we can apply that to any other system, any other types of microbes in any other system.
So as you develop an understanding of these two areas, you think it's just going to be able to explode into other areas a little quicker?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the idea was we would provide the fundamental knowledge and understanding that how microbes communicate and do what they do and develop biofilms. And from that very fundamental genetic understanding, we're going to be able to replicate that to other systems.
And as you take, and so you have the good right side, and how you're going to use the good biofilms, and then you have the how do we prevent the bad from growing? Do
right.
we sometimes though need that bad, need that bacteria for other things to function?
Well, and that is always part of the entire research focus is how to know what you can eliminate completely and what needs to be mm-hmm. around just to keep the systems viable. So, we think about that is that it's not always the case that you can take a microbe that you generally think is bad and remove it because it does have some use in the system.
So then you bring in that the ethical debate as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep, absolutely.
It's not easy.
No, it's complicated. This is very complicated. The research itself is very complicated, and just from a societal aspect, it's very complicated.
And so where do you see this heading?
Well, I think, as I had mentioned, we really hope to build the framework from which we can then move to other systems. That's going to be the big step. One thing I haven't really talked much about is there's the education and diversity part of the Track 1 grant. And we really look at part of that education is we're going to develop modules for K-12. And we hope to grow the students interested in STEM education, which will lead to more students interested perhaps in STEM university studies and provide a workforce in South Dakota as these kind of industries that require this kind of knowledge need a workforce. And so that's part of what we're doing too, is building the workforce in South Dakota.
And starting and getting right into, you said K-12, so we could have experiments. You could start getting kids interested as early as 5 or 6 years old?
As first grade or
yeah.
before, absolutely.
Train them up the way you want them to go.
Yeah, and just give them appreciation for the science that is around them. From everything that they see in everyday life.
Okay. Dr. Rob Winder, I want to thank you so much for taking time and coming on the program today. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Thank you so much for having me.